Well, the second passage that I want you to look at is Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. In your pew Bible, it's on page 578. Now, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 are the two major passages in the Bible that describe Satan for us, and it's an easy way to remember 28 is twice 14. So Isaiah 14, you remember Isaiah 14, you can remember Ezekiel 28. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Look in Ezekiel 28 at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz and diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Now again, the primary application is to a king. This time he's identified as the king of the city of Tyre. But the language that Ezekiel uses has a reference again back to Satan. So again, let me give you a couple of things that it says about Satan. Again, it talks about who Satan was. Verses 12 and 13 give us this tremendous description of Satan before he sinned. It says, first of all, he was unequaled in wisdom. He was full of wisdom. Secondly, he was beautiful in appearance. In fact, it says he was perfect in beauty. It says he was covered in the richest garments. Every precious stone was your covering. It says he was in charge of praise to God. If you look at the end of verse 13, it says, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. There are some Bible scholars who suggest that this language indicates that Satan led all of heaven in praise to God. That would have put him in one of the highest places in heaven above all of the angels. Now, there's another significant phrase in verse 14. It says, you were the anointed cherub who covers. That's repeated in just slightly different form down in verse 16 when it says, O covering cherub. The term covered is used in other passages to indicate protection. So Bible scholars believe that not only did Satan lead all of heaven in worship and praise to God, but it refers to someone who would cover God's throne or who would guard God's throne, who would protect God himself. This would be someone who would be in constant contact with God. He had a privileged position. Now, his position in heaven is also indicated in verse 14 when he says, you were on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. Ezekiel mentions this mountain of God, just like Isaiah did. Here he calls it the holy mountain of God. It refers to the place of God. You see, Lucifer was already on the mountain of God. He came and went with freedom before God. He occupied a place before his sin above most of the other angels. He was as high up as an angel could go, but that wasn't enough. He wanted more. And ultimately, sin was found in him. And it was that sin, those five I wills in the book of Isaiah, that led to Satan's downfall. Now, there's another important statement in verse 15. It says, "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created." You see, Satan is a created being. There are some people who believe that Satan possesses all of the attributes of God. The attributes of God are normally classified in two different categories. Sometimes they're called the non-moral attributes of God and the moral attributes of God. The non-moral attributes of God are attributes that don't have to do with his intrinsic character. They have to do with his power. So there are some people who say, well, Satan has those same non-moral attributes. They sort of see God as the good God on this side and Satan as the evil God on this side. But that's not how the Bible describes Satan. He, along with all of the other angels, is a created being. And as a created being, he does not possess the non-moral attributes of God. Satan is not omniscient. He is not all-knowing. He does not know everything the way God knows everything. He is wise. He knows a lot. But he is not omniscient. Now, let me say this. From that, I believe that Satan cannot read your mind. There are a lot of people who have an evil thought. And they, Satan knows what I thought. He cannot read your mind. So let me tell you what I practice sometimes. When I really get upset with Satan and sin and all the evil in this world, I pray out loud because I want Satan to hear it. He can't hear you if you don't pray out loud. And he cannot read your mind because he is not omniscient. Secondly, Satan is not omnipresent. He is not everywhere at the same time as God is. Now, he has many demons who keep him informed of what's going on in the world, but Satan can only be in one place at one time, just like you as a created being. Thirdly, Satan is not omnipotent. He is not all-powerful like God. He is limited in his power as a created being. Now listen, he is very powerful. He's more powerful than you are. But he is not as powerful as God. We refer to these as the non-moral attributes of God. They don't have to do specifically with the character of God. Now, when you talk about the moral attributes of God, you're talking about things like truthfulness and love and mercy and holiness and goodness. Satan already isn't those things. There's no question. There's no argument about that. If he was, he wouldn't be who he is today. In fact, he's just the opposite of all of that. But as a created being, Satan is not like God any more than you or I are like God. Let me give you, secondly, Satan's downfall again. In verses 16 through 19 that we read, there's a mixture here referring to the king of Tyre or to Satan. There are things in these verses that can only be said about Satan. And there are things in these verses that probably refer to the king of Tyre. For example, even backing up to verse 15. Verse 15 refers to Satan because the king of Tyre was not perfect in all of his ways. The last half of verse 16, however, refers to Satan. He was the one who was in the mountain of God. He was the covered cherub. But the last half of verse 18 and verse 19 refer to the king of Tyre. These things are not said about Satan. They were true of the king of Tyre. He defiled the sanctuaries. He was known as a great trading and shipping empire. The city of Tyre was burned by fire to ashes. People walked by and said, "Wow, look at what happened to Tyre." And so some of this refers to the king of Tyre. Some of it refers specifically to Satan. Now, there's evidence to believe that Satan was one of the archangels. If I was to ask you today how many archangels are there, we would get all kind of estimates. You can read online or in different places about seven archangels. Do you know how many archangels are actually named in Scripture? One. Only Michael, the archangel, in the book of Jude is named as an archangel in Scripture. There are not seven archangels, and they have all kind of made-up names. But in the book of Daniel, Michael is said to be one of the chief princes, plural, indicating that there are other angels on an equal standing with Michael. There are other archangels. Traditionally, it's been suggested that Gabriel is an archangel, especially given the significant role that he played in the announcement of the coming of the Savior. So it's very possible that Gabriel was an archangel. Lucifer may have been an archangel, given the descriptions that we've read about his position and his glory and his power in heaven. It certainly would indicate that he may, in fact, be an archangel. So if you have, and I sort of lean this way, if you have Lucifer and Gabriel and Michael, you have three archangels in heaven. Now, there's another reason to think that, and that is that the book of Revelation in chapter 22 describes Lucifer, describes Satan, as a great fiery red dragon. And it says he took one-third of the stars of heaven and swept them to the earth. Again, we're looking at stars being angels, a word for angels. There's no time that we know of where one-third of the stars that Satan is going to be able to do that. If the angels are listed in rank under the archangels, then you had one-third of the angels under Lucifer, one-third of the angels under Gabriel, one-third of the angels under Michael. And when Satan rebelled, those who were his angels, if you will, those who were under him rebelled with him. Well, let's do a little summary this morning of what we've learned so far. Satan is a created being just like we are created beings. He is not God. He has not existed from eternity. There was a time when Satan did not exist. Secondly, he occupied one of the highest positions in heaven. It seems from the evidence that he was one of the three highest angels, one of the archangels of heaven. And even as an archangel, occupied a place of great privilege, a place of great honor in heaven. That led, thirdly, to his pride. He desired to usurp God's place, and by doing that, he lost everything he had in heaven. He does not possess what we might call the eternal attributes of God or the non-moral attributes of God. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent. He knows a lot. He's not omniscient. He is very powerful. He is not omnipotent. He has people, demons working for him. He is not omnipresent. He is confined to one place at one time. And finally, he is powerful and he is dangerous, but never forget he is defeated. You need to know the foe. You need to know who Satan is. You need to know what he can do. You need to know how you can stand against him. And in the weeks to come, we're going to talk about that, especially how you can stand against Satan. He is not an enemy to be ignored. He is to be reckoned with, but God has given us everything that we need to stand against the most powerful foe you will ever have. I want to encourage you to come back and not miss. This is only part of the sermon. You need to come back and hear the rest. We've laid the foundation this morning of who Satan is and what happened to him. We'll learn more about him in the coming weeks. Let's pray together. Father, we have an enemy. We have someone who wants to trip us up and who wants to defeat us and who wants to discourage us and who wants to just play havoc with our spiritual lives. And Lord, we pray that this week we would trust in your power, for you have defeated Satan, and that we will submit to you and to your word as we walk through this life, that we will not be sidetracked by Satan and his demons, but that we will take this very seriously and yet also understand that you are greater than any enemy that we have, and that we can walk in your power and in your strength in obedience to your word. We don't have to give in to the enemy. We don't have to be defeated. Give us the victory this week, Lord. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.